Good morning. It's great to be here, and it's great to see so many visiting friends as well. Really good to have you with us. We, from time to time in the year, do series which we follow as a church, and we've had the summer doing ad-libbing, if you like, as the Lord leads. But now we're ready to start another series for a little while. And we're looking at the book of Ephesians. And I've got the privilege of starting that off. So we're looking mainly at chapter 1 and what our possessions are in Christ. And I've called it Access All Areas, because that's what the Lord woke me up with one night and said that's what I had to call it today. And so I'm wearing my pass for Access All Areas. It's very poorly made because I'm not very good. And I haven't got a laminator, so it's sellotape. But there you go. And I'm sure this kind of ribbon isn't what they usually use at conferences and stuff like that. But that's it. So Access All Areas. Paul wrote this letter, and it says in Ephesians chapter 1, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And so Paul is writing this letter. Now, it's a little bit disputed as to whether it was solely to the Ephesians or wider than that. And the reason scholars have decided perhaps it was for more churches to be read across the churches is because it isn't Ephesians, the name is not in the ancient manuscripts. And also, there are no personal greetings. And if you know anything about Paul's letters to Philippians and Colossians and all these, the people he met there, he would send personal greetings in the letter. But there's none of those in Ephesians. So it would suggest that it was to more churches, to be read, if you like, more generally across the churches. So Paul had two visits to Ephesus. One was a brief visit, and it says that in Acts 18 and verse 19. They stopped first at the port of Ephesus, where Paul left the others behind. And while he was there, he went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews. They asked him to stay longer, but he declined. And as he left, however, he said, I will come back later, God willing. And then he set sail from Ephesus. And he did return. And he stayed there for 2 to 3 years. And so he honoured what he had said to them. This letter has been described as one of the best descriptions of the Christian life in the whole of the New Testament. It has everything in it. If you look at chapters 1 to 3, it sums up the good news of the gospel, the good news of the grace of God in Christ Jesus, both to the Jew and to the Gentile. And then if you look at chapters 4 to 6, it outlines our kind of response, specific instructions as to our response to what God has done. So that's the sort of overview, if you like. But we're looking at chapter 1 today, and here is emphasized God's amazing grace to us. And I wondered just how often you think about God's amazing grace to you. Does it cross your mind? Do you think about it when you come to talk to the Lord in the mornings, or in the evenings, or whenever you talk to him? Do you think about his amazing grace to you? When was the last time you thanked God for his amazing grace to you? It challenged me when I thought about it. You know, although Paul is writing this letter from prison, it's full of joy, it's full of praise, and it's full of the amazing grace of God to us. Verses 3 to 14 in the Greek are one sentence. All of those verses are one sentence. And it seems like Paul was just pouring out his heart about how much God had done. What is ours in Christ Jesus? I've called this sermon, as I said before, Access All Areas, because it reminds me of having one of those passes which has no restrictions. It's, if it's good and desirable, it's open to you. It's there. And God gives us access to his abundance. And this chapter talks about the abundance that we have access to, all areas. Last Christmas, Orion brought me a present. He didn't buy it. He brought it to me in a bag. And he said, "Mum, this is for you. It's from Gavin." And Gavin is one of his millionaire customers. And I thought, ooh, Gavin, why would he buy me a present? And when I opened it, there was fab perfume. It's absolutely gorgeous, expensive perfume. And a gift card. And the gift card is for Formby Hall Spa Resort. And it had on it £180. But he said to Ian, "Tell your mum that's not the limit. Whatever she wants, she can have." I was gobsmacked, absolutely gobsmacked. And when I got there, you know, they're saying, "Now, will you be using the pool today? Will you be using this today?" Everything is open to me. I thought, wow, this is fab. And I've you know, typical me, I've been breaking it down into small bits and having a visit and using a bit more and a bit more. And it's been absolutely lovely. But I feel like I can go in there and nothing's cut off. Nothing is not for me. I can have any of it that I want, because that is what he said. When our Ian goes on a business trip, well, when he goes on any trip on the train, he always travels first class. And I said, "Son," I went standard class to London a few weeks ago. And I said, "Son, why do you travel first class? You get a table, you get a plug socket for your computer, just the same." He says, "Mum, I've got more space. They come with drinks by the minute, food." And he said, "And then when I get there, if I'm too early for me meeting, there's a first class lounge I've got access to." And so Access All Areas for him is what he wants. And it gives him, I mean, I couldn't go into the first class lounge on my standard class ticket. And we had to put up with all the kids that were screaming around us and everything like that. So it makes a difference, doesn't it, to have Access All Areas. And Paul is pouring out at the beginning of this letter the amazing grace of God to us that gives us access all areas. And the pass is his precious son. Amazing, amazing grace. And I want to look this morning, just for a few minutes, at some of the areas that are open to us in him. Verse 3. "All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ." Every spiritual blessing. No restrictions when we use the pass, because we're united with Christ. A relationship with God himself. How amazing is that? I'm continually amazed that God wants a relationship with me after all the things I've done in my life. I am continually amazed, continually blessed. Every spiritual blessing. He's holding nothing back. Access all areas. Verse 4 says this: "Even before he made the world, God loved us, and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. I'm loved, chosen, and adopted. I'm one of the family." How often do you dwell on the fact that God chose you? You weren't a last-minute thought. He didn't say, oh, okay, then you can come. He chose you. He actually chose you. It was the will of the Father that he adopt us into his family, to give us access all areas. How? Through his Son. The Bible tells us there's only one way, and we've sang it this morning in some of the songs we sang. There is only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. I love the words in verse 5 there that I've read that said, this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Isn't that a fab thought? That God chose me because he wanted to do it. He didn't have to do it. He wanted to do it, and it gave him great pleasure. And then Paul carries on in praise. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. I wanted to sing a song today, but none of the worship team knew it. We rejoice in the grace of God poured upon our lives. Loving kindness has come to us because of Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the grace of God. Our hearts overflow. What a joy to know the grace of God. I don't know if that's your experience today. If you dwell on it and if you think about it, the grace of God comes to us. And then verse 7 says this. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. I am freed and forgiven. Freed, no restrictions. Forgiven, nothing outstanding on my record. Wiped clean. We sang last week, no condemnation. Now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. You know, for some people, sin has them totally in prison. It might have them in physical prison, but I'm talking about mentally. For some people, they are totally bound by sin, and it holds them captive completely. For some, sin has them as if they've got a tag on their leg or an ASBO on their life. There's some freedom, but there are restrictions to that freedom. I've given God some areas of my life, but, I just keep going that way. That's got a hold on me somehow. And so we've got a tag on, you know. We've got some freedom, but we haven't entered in to the total freedom that God has given me. God's blood, Jesus' blood purchased my salvation to give me a total freedom. Why on earth would I want anything less than that? Access all areas. That's what I enjoy when I go to Formby Hall. Access all areas. That's what you can enjoy in Christ. Access all areas. Why would you want to limit yourself? And then verse 8 says this, he has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. Mm. Kindness, wisdom, understanding. God has opened my eyes to what he is doing. Isn't that amazing? God has opened my eyes. He wants me to see what he's doing. He's given me insight into his wonderful plan. There are so many people in our world today who are totally blind to what God is doing. But he has chosen to open my eyes. He has chosen to give me wisdom and understanding. Isn't that an amazing thought? That the God of the universe, the God, as John so often tells us, put all of the stars in place, yeah, is the God who wants to let me into his plans, help me to understand and to see what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And then verse 11 says this, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. So the same pass that gives us access all areas is the key to our inheritance in God. When you're part of the family, you're entitled to your inheritance. And what an inheritance. I don't know if you've ever received an inheritance. Me and Eddie have been fortunate to receive two or three down the years. And one of them was in the early days of our marriage. In fact, I think it was before Ian. So it was in the mid-70s. And two of his maiden aunts, as he used to always call them, I think it's a horrible term, but his maiden aunts died. And so because they had no children, all of the nieces and nephews got a share in the inheritance. And we got our share, £1,440. I tell you, it was like life-changing money. And we were so excited, 1,440 quid was a lot of money. And my family didn't have much at all. My mum and dad were never rich at all. They got by each month, same as a lot of people did, and our son and Keith, and my brother and his wife. And so I threw a party, a meal, and I invited them around, and I wrote checks out. We had checks in them days, there isn't so many now. I wrote checks out and put them in an envelope and put each one on their place. Because I just wanted to share what we had with them. We had a great night. It was really fab, and it was so exciting to be able to share with them. And as they were leaving, my dad said to me, if you're having any more of these envelope parties, don't forget to invite me. But you know, it was so fab to be able to share our inheritance with them. And I thought to myself, God has given me an inheritance which pales into insignificance, 1,400 quid. Am I as willing to share that? Are you? Are you as willing to share that with others around? God the Father, sovereign over all, chose us before he made the world. He loved us and he adopted us into his family. He made us heirs to his inheritance. And as if he hasn't done enough, it says this in verse 13. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Father, Son, and Spirit. Nothing held back. Access all areas. Open to the Jew and to the Gentile alike. A guarantee of our inheritance in him. Have you ever had a guarantee? You get guarantees on stuff that you buy these days. And I remember getting a guarantee. We bought soffits and fascias for the outside because the others were going rotten. And he gave us a guarantee. I don't know, 10 years or something like this guarantee. That it wouldn't discolour or all this because it was white. And I looked up, you know, a few times. I thought, well, it's really yellow. In fact, it's almost beige or whatever. So I just contacted them. And I found out my guarantee was forged. It was not worth a carrot. But I'm telling you this, God's guarantee is for real. God's guarantee can totally be trusted. God's guarantee is there for all of us. And he is faithful to what he's promised. How can we help but praise him for what he has done? It says in Luke 10, don't rejoice because the evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. How often do you rejoice in your prayer times and in your daily life because your name is written in heaven? What an absolute privilege. I sometimes watch that programme Air Hunters on TV. It's a programme where companies look for heirs to money or estates, where people haven't left a will, and they try to find the families. At some part in the programme, they make an appeal, and they say, could you be heir to the estate of John Smith, who died in 2010? Are you a member of his family? Is there a fortune waiting for you? To those of you here today who haven't experienced God on any level, I want to say there is an inheritance that you are entitled to, and it could be yours today. It could be yours today. It isn't money. It's far more valuable than that. It's love and acceptance and adoption and forgiveness. It's freedom and access all areas. If you get a hold of the pass, that is in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. There's another old song. I love old songs. They've got a lot of theology in old songs. And it says, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. It's there for you, and it's there today. So those of you who are part of God's family, are you really fully experiencing the freedom you have in him? Are you continually rejoicing in the grace that brought you the inheritance that is yours? Are you moving in the power that is yours through the Holy Spirit? Access all areas. Thanks be to God who loved us and chose us before the world began. Thanks be to Jesus, his Son, who through his blood bought us freedom and forgiveness. Amen. And thanks be to the Holy Spirit, who is God's guarantee that he will do what he's promised. This is a cause for rejoicing. Let's pray together.